Well, hello, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I welcome you today to our new recording. And this would be recording number 3, I believe, in the study of letter C, the church. And I pray that you have been studying your Bible and that you've been going over these verses, as we have been giving them to you. We've been, talking together, and studying God's Word. I hope that you have peace in your life and that the Word of God is, blessing you, because it does. The Word of God does bring us peace in our life. And, we're going to, recap just a little bit, and the thing that we talked about to begin with in the church. I don't know what I'm all flum-tongued about to begin with. Forgive me for that, but it'll smooth out here in a minute. You're going to find a lot of things out about me, I guess, doing these, but talking about the church. Now, remember we talked in Philemon chapter 1, verse 2, and the first thing that we went over was to establish what a church was and what the Bible meant by whenever it speaks of a church. Well, church as in singular is the body of Christ, remember? And the Bible says, ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful, in Colossians chapter 3:15. Now, so singular, the church is the body of Christ. That's all the born-again, Bible-believing Christians, or all the people that have been adopted into the family of God, that have believed on Jesus Christ as their Savior and accepted His righteousness in place of their own righteousness in order to get to heaven, and for their sins to be forgiven and taken away. Okay, and we're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and we have all the promises, and we are accepted in the blood. Okay, that's the church. Okay, but then the Bible talks in a plural form of the churches. Okay, and that is also the church, which is the singular church, but broken down in geographical areas called the churches. For instance, we talked about one being in the houses, remember? Being Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church that is in thy house. And then in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 15, we've seen where it said, salute the brethren which are in Laodicea. And then in 1 Corinthians, we've seen the churches of Asia. In Colossians, we also seen that the Bible said, and he is the head of the body, the church. Remember? And then in Colossians chapter 3:15, we've seen, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. So all this is coming together. We read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and talked about the church and the body and us being the body. So we pretty well know what the Bible's talking about. It's not talking about a building. It's not talking about a place. It's not talking about a human organization. It's not talking about a Presbyterian church or Baptist church or Catholic church. It's not talking about that. It's talking about an organism, people. Specific people that are called out, okay? And that's us. We've been sanctified. We've been separated. We've been called out from the world. Come out from the world and be separate. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Okay, now, the Lord has saved us because of what Christ has done, and because we have trusted in His Son. And He has saved us. Okay. Now that being past tense, as far as our state, we are in the family of God, and our status is we're born again and we're in the family of God. Now, as far as the churches go, we also went down through there and we talked about that the church is a New Testament institution. Now we're talking about individual churches that have we're talking about the singular church that's worldwide. We're talking about who founded the church. Now the church involves all born again saved people, people over around the world in China, our brothers and sisters that are in Portugal, our brothers and sisters that are in Spain, our brothers and sisters that have trusted Christ that are in Russia, all of our persecuted brothers and sisters. The church is all one and oneness and one body, the body of Christ. Okay, but the church is not all one assembly. Okay, because everybody can't be in one place in the entire world at one time. So this is where we make just a little bit of difference in what we're talking about and what the Bible's talking about when it mentions church and then it mentions churches. Okay, so church means the entire congregation everywhere, all the body of Christ all together. And we see in the Bible that it tells us that there are churches in different locations. Okay, so that is parts of the body of Christ that are broken into individual places geographically. The churches in Laodicea, the churches that are in Asia, the churches that are in Macedonia, the churches. But the church is a New Testament institution. Now, do you remember who founded the church? Jesus Christ. That's right. He founded the church. And upon this rock will I build my church. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, remember? And who's building the church? Jesus just said he's building the church. Okay, who does the church belong to? The church belongs to Jesus. He used the personal pronoun mine. Now, there are all kinds of institutions and all kinds of assemblies, but this particular assembly is the Lord's assembly because he called it my church. And Jesus Christ is God. He is the Lord, and he is our Lord. So it is the Lord's assembly, a specific assembly, us, that have been called out. Now, who was Jesus identifying as this rock? He said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, pointing to himself, I will build my church. Okay. And then what is the meaning of Peter's name? Do you remember that? It was a stone, right? Okay. And then who did Peter identify upon the church would be built? He said a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Remember? And the Old Testament's written primarily to who? To the nation of Israel, that's right. And the New Testament is mainly addressed to whom? It's mainly addressed to the churches. The church, the body of Christ, the churches, okay? But it's also addressed to who else? The Jews. It's addressed to Israel also in places. Now, all of the Bible is written for you, but all of the Bible is not written to you. But nevertheless, spiritually, all of the Bible is written for us, and we can use it spiritually, no matter who it's written to. Yes, we can. And God the Holy Ghost will show you that as you study the Word of God, you'll see that it was not necessarily, some parts was not necessarily written addressing you specifically, but you can use it as truth in your walk with the Lord. Yes. Okay, then we come to the part that's called the church is an assembly. We're talking about the church being assembly. All right, now this is where it starts breaking down the word church and churches. Okay, now the church is identified as what? It's identified as the body of Christ in the scriptures. And most of the time when the word church is used, it's talking about the church as a whole, the body of Christ everywhere. Okay, but now when it's talking about churches, it breaks it down into an assembly, a local assembly, because everybody can't be all of the saved. People over in Russia, our brothers and sisters in Russia, cannot meet us on Sundays, the first day of the week, can't meet us here wherever we are and assemble with us. So we're going to go into that today and talk about that. But the word churches is found 114 times in the New Testament. And remember the word that we talked about and spelled out last week, that Greek word, it was called ekklesia, which means a company of people called out for a specific purpose. Remember? Okay, and that is the word church. Okay, it's the word has been has only one meaning. It means a company of people called out for a specific purpose, and it has its roots in the Greek city-states about the town crier. Remember, where he would go out and he would call out for people to come and assemble. Okay, now the fourth thing, or the next thing that we want to talk about is that there are four important facts concerning an assembly. Now, we've went from what the church is. We know what the church is. We've talked about that it was found in people's houses, that it's not a building, it's not a cathedral, it's not a human organization, and it's not something that's called a Catholic church or the Presbyterian church or the Baptist church. It is Jesus Christ's church. It's the body of Christ when the Bible's talking about it. Now, there's a lot of people that have their own ideas about what the church is, but we're not interested in everybody's ideas or opinions. We're interested in God's opinion and what the Bible says, okay, because that's how we want to live. We want to live with truth in our minds and in our hearts, and we want to speak the truth to others, and we want to have an answer to give to them, and when we give them the answer, we want it to be truth, okay? So the next thing we want to talk about is that the church is a New Testament institution. And then we talked about the church is an assembly, excuse me. And then we, as we're talking about the church being an assembly, we want to see four important facts about an assembly. All right? And the four important facts, we'll talk about four of them. And we'll see that the first one is that an assembly, a company of people that are called out for a specific purpose, an assembly, the Lord's assembly, specific people, born-again people, when they come together in an assembly, the assembly must be local. People over in Russia cannot come over here every week, or we can't go and be with them every week. It'd get mighty expensive. You probably can in this technical world, in this travel, this transportation world now, but it's not practical. Okay, so people have to meet locally. We have born-again brothers and sisters that are all around the world in every place and have been born again, and they are in the body of Christ as we are, and we're brothers and sisters in the Lord, sons of God, washed in Jesus' blood, okay, and we're all in the family of God and waiting for the return of our Lord Jesus, but we assemble in different places. There was assemblies in Macedonia, assemblies in Corinth, assemblies in all different kinds of places in the Scriptures, and we see that, and we're going to look at that in just a minute and read the Scriptures and see. But people cannot come together and yet be all over the world. For example, an automobile is an assembly, and it has many various parts. The church, the body of Christ, is an assembly and has many different parts. Remember, we read that in 1 Corinthians 12 about the arm can't say to the eye and the leg can't say to the ear, and we're all chosen particularly in the body of Christ in this assembly. Okay, but people can't come together and yet be all over the world. And for the automobile's an assembly of various parts, but how absurd to think of it as being everywhere, a universal car. You see what we're talking about? There's no such thing as a universal car. And in order for it to be a car, it has to be assembled. It has to be together. It has to be, it has to come together. Okay? Same thing with local churches. They have to assemble. Okay, in all but about 15 instances where it's used in a generic and institutional sense, that is, any church in general or no church in particular, the word church or churches is always used in connection with definite geographical localities, locations in the Bible. Now let's look at this thing. We have some references in the Scriptures, Romans chapter 16. And 16 verse 1, it says, now concerning the collection for the saints, let me make sure I'm in the right place before I, Romans chapter 16 verse 1, Well, I don't like it when I embarrass myself like this. That's all right. I get kind of messed up sometimes. Romans chapter 16, verse 1 says, I commend you unto Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea. Okay, now what's the location in that one? Okay, Cenchrea has been identified as a location, and it was identified as a church that assembled in Cenchrea. Okay, then we have another one, 1 Corinthians 1, 2. And these are scriptures that we went over yesterday, but that's okay. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, see who we're talking about, what assembly we're talking about, the Lord's assembly, with all that are in every place, call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Okay, so we see another location. Did you get that? Where's that in that? Corinth, that's right. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1. And 19 says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. Okay, now we're talking about two different locations in that them two verses. Did you get them? What are they? Galatia and Asia. That's right. There were churches, bodies of Christ, local assemblies of the body of Christ that gathered in specific locations called Galatia and Asia. Yes, absolutely. That's very clear, very simple, very elementary. A 5-year-old can understand that. And the Lord meant for it to be that way. Nothing confusing about the Word of God or church. The church is very simple. The Bible tells us what the church is. Colossians chapter 4, verse 16. And when the this epistle is read among you, cause it to be read also in the church of the Laodiceans. And that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. So where's the location there? Laodicea. There was a church there. Or either the Bible's lying, and we know better than that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1 says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said they're in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're part of the body of Christ. They're saved. They're our brothers and sisters. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so we see also the Thessalonians, Thessalonica. There was a church there. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 13. The Bible says the church that is at Babylon, elect together with you, elected together with you. We are called the elect also in the Bible. That's saved people. That's the church. That's the body of Christ. Salute you. And so doth Marcus, my son. Now in Revelation chapter 2, there's also some churches there. Unto the church, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write. Remember, there were seven in there. And then he said, unto the angel of the church of Smyrna, unto the angel of the church at in Pergamos, and unto the angel of the church in Thyatira, and so on and so forth. And then he said in Revelation chapter 3, verse 1 and 7, are you getting this? All these different locations. An assembly must be local. It must be local in order for it to be a local gathering. It can't be all over the world. I mean, these people weren't going in every, all these people weren't meeting in one place in the entire planet. They were meeting in local places. And under the church, unto the angel of the church of Sardis write, the Bible says. And then there's another one says, and unto the church of Philadelphia, Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. And then, we see also the church of the Laodiceans in verse 14 of Revelation chapter 3. So an assembly must be local. It must be local. And for these reasons, the Bible knows nothing of a universal, which is primarily Catholic, universal worldwide church. The New Testament speaks of many churches which were all meeting in different localities. Many local churches made up of the church, the body of Christ. Are you getting this? Pretty simple, isn't it? The second thing is that an assembly must be visible. It must be visible. People cannot come together and not be seen. Many like to talk about the invisible church. You heard that before? If you haven't, and hope you don't, because it's foolishness. Talk about the invisible church, which allows them to move about in Christian circles. But all the churches mentioned in the New Testament were seeable. You could see them. Paul said that whenever he wrote to the Thessalonians and to the Philippians, and when he was writing to those to the church in Philippi and Thessalonica, he said he desired to come and see these assemblies. In Philippians, listen to what he says. We'll read it. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, he said, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit and one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." He said, "And come and see you." Local assembly must be visible. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 17 says, "But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire." You see, he said he wanted to come and see them in Thessalonica. Local assembly must be visible. Okay, so a local assembly must be local, and a local assembly must be visible. Okay, all right. And the third thing is that an assembly must be organized. It must be organized. It can't be an assembly. An assembly is not a rabble, a disorderly or a mob of people. It's an organized. The Lord said, "Let everything be done decently and in order." The word assembly implies organization. I mean, if it's assembled, that means it has a plan. It comes together in assembly, it's organized, okay? In Colossians, let me read that to you. In Colossians chapter 4, Colossians chapter 1, let me find my place here again. I don't know how I lose my place so much, but I do. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things he might have the preeminence." Okay, a church is likened figuratively to a what? To a human body. It said that the Lord is the head of it in Colossians 1:18, what we just read. Now, a human body is an assembly of many parts. But does a pile of skin and flesh and organs and bones and guts and toenails and all that constitute a body? No, it doesn't. It just constitutes a mess on the floor. Okay, but all these parts have to be put together according to a plan, right? It has to be an assembly. It has to be organized. Okay, in Psalm chapter 139, verse 14, it says, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." Okay, and then in 1 Timothy, we're talking about an assembly must be organized. It cannot be just a bunch of disorderly mob thrown on the floor or coming from just anything. It's got to be organized. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." The pillar and ground of the truth. Here's a church that's likened figuratively, to what? To a house. All right? And the house you live in is also an assembly. But does a pile of bricks and timber and wood and plaster and nails and stucco and shingles and all that constitute a house? Of course not. These things must be put together according to a plan or a blueprint. It's got to be organized. Also, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and verse 9 and 11 and 16, and I'll give you these scriptures. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Remember, we talked about Jesus being the foundation. He's the stone that the builders disallowed, remember? Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? We are likened unto a house. It's organized. The church at Corinth was likened to a temple. It was likened to a temple. Now, the New Testament church is to be organized. The blueprint is found in the New Testament. The Lord tells us in the New Testament how the New Testament church, the local churches, are to operate and how they are to be organized. Okay, so let's recap just a little bit. We're talking about that a church is an assembly, ecclesia, remember, and that churches are found 114 times in the New Testament, so it's not a word that's hidden in a corner. It's talked about quite a bit. That it's a New Testament institution. It wasn't Old Testament, it's New Testament. The Lord Jesus Christ, and just before his before his ascension, established the church. And there are four important facts concerning this assembly. This assembly must be local. This assembly must be visible. This assembly must be organized. And one more thing. This assembly must be constituted. In other words, it's got to be made up of the right things. It can't just be anything from anywhere. By this, we mean it must be made up of the right components. How absurd to think of an assembly of a motor vehicle out of milk and leaves and uranium. How foolish to build a house out of paper and band-aids and meat. You see, it's got to be made up of the right things, constituted. Okay, so too, a New Testament church is not to be made up of just anything or anyone. God specifies the correct components in the New Testament. And Acts chapter 2, verse 41, it says, "Then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Okay, in Acts 2:47, the Bible says, "Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." And believers were the more added to the Lord, both men and women. Okay, you know, there are some religions in the world that don't include women, or they are of a how you want to put it, kind of a lower whatever you want to call it in there. They're not classified in the same classification, but in the Lord there's neither Jew nor Gentile, male or female. Okay, we're all one in the Lord. All right, we're his body. All right, now, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel." There's your first component, the gospel, "which I preached unto you, which also ye have received." There's another component. You have to; it has to be received. The gospel has to be received, "and wherein ye stand, by which also ye were saved." Talking about people being saved by the gospel that they received. "If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ," and here's the gospel of the New Testament right here, "how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." An assembly must be constituted. It's got to be made up of the right things. It has to have the gospel. It has to be received. The gospel be received and be standing on the gospel, and whereby we are saved by the gospel. Okay, and what is the gospel? It is Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and He was buried, and He rose again. There it is, right in front of your face, written down, right in the Scriptures. That's the gospel. Okay, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, the Bible says, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth," there's a component of the assembly that has to be part of the Constitution. It is that, that in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the word of truth. And what is the word of truth? Comma, the gospel of your salvation. "And whom also, after that ye believed, and ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory." So, we see the constitution of this assembly has to be made up of the right things. It has to have the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It has to have faith. It has to have the grace, saved by grace through faith. In what? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of religions in the world that have absolutely nothing to do with what the Bible's talking about here. Absolutely nothing to do with it. Mark 16:16 says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned." So what is it that damns you? Unbelief. Does the baptism have anything to do with being saved? It didn't say that. It said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." But what part of believing or baptizing saves you? "But he that believeth not is damned." So you can be baptized and still be damned. But if you believe, like the Bible says, that's what saves you. But when you believe, then you are ordered. There's an ordinance in the New Testament, for people that are already saved to be baptized, which has absolutely nothing to do with saving you. It has to do with showing publicly what saved you: the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so an assembly must be local. An assembly must be visible. An assembly must be organized, and an assembly must be constituted. We know that baptism is an ordinance of the Lord and not part of our salvation in any way. It symbolically shows a picture of what saved us. Now, this is the only scriptural way by which people are to become members of a local New Testament church: believing unto salvation, obedience by baptism, and joining a local assembly of believers. A local, visible, organized, constituted New Testament church is an organized assembly of baptized believers. Very simple, right? Nothing hard about that. Scripture to back every bit of it up. Let me go ahead and give you the scriptures then. Are you ready? Now, we begin today talking about that the church is an assembly, and four important facts of an assembly. And I'm sorry about all my words being so messed up today. That's got to do with the brain, not the word, not the tongue, I think. I'm not sure. But probably both. The church is an assembly. Here we go. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Romans chapter 16, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 19. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Colossians chapter 4, verse 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 13. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1, verse 8, verse 12, and verse 18. Revelation chapter 3, verse 1, verse 7, and verse 14. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 17. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. Psalm chapter 139, verse 14. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, 11, and 16. Acts chapter 2, verse 41, and verse 47. Acts chapter 5, verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. And lastly, Mark chapter 16, verse 16. Okay, and we've found out four things about the church today. We talked about the first thing first, what the church was. We've talked about the church as a New Testament institution that came about in the New Testament by and from the Lord Jesus Christ. The church is an assembly, okay, and there's four things about an assembly that we needed to know: that it must be local, that it must be visible, that it must be organized, and that it must be constituted. The next thing that we're going to talk about on the next recording is the New Testament church has a head. Now, we've already seen that in the scriptures. It's already enlightened us about that. The Lord Jesus Christ is the head, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ, but we're going to talk about that just a little bit more than what we have. And then we'll talk about the local church has officers. As officers, remember, it's got to be constituted, made it up the right thing. It has to be organized. Let everything be done decently and in order. The Lord is an orderly God. He's not a disraveled happenstance God. He's very orderly, the Lord is, and expects us to be orderly. And we function better in our life being orderly people anyway, don't we? Okay, so go make your bed. All right. Got you, didn't I? All right. Well, okay. Well, that's it for today, or for this recording. Let's just say it that way. And I hope that you have a wonderful evening, and the Lord bless you, and I love you with Christ's love. And I'll talk to you on the next recording. Bye-bye.